This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We're going to go back to 1960 in the old Ferguson Hills Drive-In in a very special, peculiar promotion that took place there that involved some advertising that suggested a free pass to each lady who does not faint. That's how strange this was. So joining us now to talk about that promotion is local historian and curator of Cincinnati Curiosities, Greg Hand. Greg, welcome back.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
It's always a pleasure to have you on because you do dig up the most curious of Cincinnati curiosities. And this one back in 1960 at Ferguson Hills Drive-In, which was located where, by the way?
Actually, almost all of the incidents that I'm going to be talking about today took place just about a mile from my current house. So Ferguson Hills Drive-In was right next door to Western Hills High School on Ferguson Road, kind of at the border between Westwood and Price Hill.
And back in 1960, when the horror movie The Premature Burial was swinging through the drive-in circuit, as you put it in your article about this, that particular drive-in was looking to fill up, and so they decided they would bury someone prematurely. So tell us what was going on here.
Yeah, so a couple of days before the movie opened, the Ferguson Hills Drive-In actually ran a classified ad, a help wanted ad, in the local newspapers that said they wanted a man to who would be buried alive. And they got, I don't know how they did the auditions for this, but they made it clear in the ad that this guy was going to be buried for 3 days with no food or water. And the police stopped him and put a stop to it. And it actually went to court. Common Pleas Court Judge Otis Hess back in the day said, look, if this guy wants to be buried alive, let him be buried alive. And so he was. He was buried in this coffin, which had a kind of like a periscope where you could be up on the ground looking in and seeing this guy in this illuminated coffin. And he was apparently there for 3 days while this movie, Premature Burial, was showing. And the drive-in played it up that as you were coming in and buying your ticket, any lady who looked in and did not faint at the sight of this unnamed man buried in the ground would get a free pass.
That is, I mean, I feel so claustrophobic even talking about it, but it worked so well that they did it again and again.
Well, at least in the Cincinnati area, a couple years later, the same film, Premature Burial, came through the drive-ins, and the Highway 128 drive-in out near Milford apparently did the same thing. Now, you're talking about claustrophobia. I was asking some people around through local bulletin boards and discussion groups whether they were familiar with this. And one guy said, yes, I was there when they dug him up, and he was crazy. And he jumped on top of the concession stand and ran around screaming after they let him out of the coffin.
Well, I hope he got a hot dog out of it anyway.
Yeah.
It must have been pretty hungry after all that time underground. But this was a period of the 1950s and 1960s, as you write about here, and being buried alive for fun and profit, that there were a lot of strange promotions in the middle of the 20th century.
Oh, indeed. There were a lot of new things to promote. The idea of large automobile sales lots was a brand new thing. Shopping centers were a brand new thing. Drive-ins were a brand new thing. And everybody was looking for some sort of gimmick. And so you tend to find these odd little things at these new events, you know. So like some places would put on wrestling demonstrations and they would call on the local contingent of the Marines to stage a landing, that sort of thing. But, you know, once you buried somebody, just like a vanilla sort of burial, you've got to up the game.
And they did. So, and I can't help but notice that this was also on the west side of town with the Western Hills Plaza in the 1960s, where they got some snakes involved.
And in fact, this was the event that got me into researching this, because I actually saw this guy. I was actually brought to the shopping center.
Oh my gosh.
And my dad must have paid a quarter, because that's what it said it cost, for me to look down this cylinder, this tube, and see this guy buried with like 18 snakes in the parking lot at the Western Hills Plaza. And it turns out that this appearance was put on by a guy from Kentucky, a guy named Larry Nunn. And he buried people all over the country with snakes, and they were all partners of his in one form or another. And some of them lasted a long time, and some of them didn't. The guy buried at the Western Hills Plaza was billed as Ahab the Arab, but again, the police got involved. They learned that they were going to bury somebody with 18 snakes in the Western Hills Plaza, and the police said, no, you can't do it because you don't have a performer's license. And again, the judge in common pleas court said, let the show go on. Let the show go on. And so that's what they did.
This was a lucrative trade. I mean, you're talking about Larry Nunn of Glasgow, Kentucky, who staged this with a partner, Ahab the Arab, as he was obviously politically incorrectly known, was Jerry Shinner's. And they split $4,000 a week.
Yeah. Yeah. This was back in the day when $4,000 a week was some pretty coin. And they would have tens of thousands of people come through whenever they had somebody buried. And they were real. They weren't defanged. They were real poisonous snakes that these guys were buried on. And I was unable to find any evidence that anybody was killed. These snake handlers quite frequently were bitten. But none of them seem to have suffered a fatal bite. And of course, then you've got to ramp up the show again.
And yet we're staying on the west side of town, I guess.
And we're staying yet again on the west side of town. When I put out this request on one of the local discussion groups, this next phase really got the response. It was at Tom Kinnear Dodge, which was then located on Glenway Avenue, near where Race Road comes in, and for this one they brought in a young woman wearing a bikini who was going to be entombed in 5,000 pounds of ice. Now apparently this gig was put on by an advertising agency out of Toledo, Ohio, and so again there were a number of bikini-clad models who appeared entombed in ice. The weird thing about this one is that every time they brought a young lady to be entombed in ice for one of these promotional events, they brought along an alleged doctor who was going to hypnotize her. And when the young lady appeared at Tom Kinnear Dodge, the local newspaper said that this doctor had been doing research on the effects of hypnotism on cold and hot temperatures, and that he was going to share his results with the public.
Oh my gosh.
I'm just thinking, you know, normally if you're going to share your results, you New England Journal of Medicine, you know, Nature Magazine or something. But they decided Tom Kinnear Dodge was the appropriate medium to let this go. It was apparently uneventful, by the way, at Tom Kinnear Dodge. But in looking this up, this company put on one of its first burials in Asbury Park, New Jersey. I wonder if the young Bruce Springsteen was involved in this, but they actually had a riot of people pushing to get a look at the lady buried in the block of ice. And the crowd was so large, the police had to be called in and rope off the area. And there was damage done to the shopping center where this took place.
Greg Hand is a local historian and the curator of Cincinnati Curiosities. You can always read more little things like this on his Twitter and the blog. Just get on your favorite search engine and search for Cincinnati Curiosities. Greg, we got a couple minutes left. And before we talk about Cabbage Night, I want to ask, if you had to be buried alive, under what circumstances, what would you want to be buried with?
I would need lots of recreational chemistry for that to take place.
I would be buried alive in Rice Krispie treats, I think, because I'd be able to eat my way out of it. So I'd feel okay with that.
There you go.
And Greg, as we were setting up this segment for you to come back on, you mentioned some other Halloween era or Halloween time period traditions. And one that stuck out to me was Cabbage Night, because I remember Cabbage Night as a teenager, certainly not as a participant, but as sort of the night before, where kids would go out and maybe toss eggs or something terrible at neighbors and houses that were unsuspecting. Is that what Cabbage Night is?
You know, the interesting thing is Cincinnati, the Cincinnati region, and particularly for these things, we're talking about Northern Kentucky, actually, lies at the nexus of a lot of traditions in the eastern United States. The tradition of doing some sort of mischief or pranks or damage prior to Halloween is a very long standing, and the names are all over the map. Mischief Night, Devil's Night in Detroit, Gate Night, Paint Night, Goosey Night, Tic-Tac Night, Cabbage Night, Corn Night. They appear variously around the United States, but all of them within shouting distance of Northern Kentucky, where a tradition grew up that all of these nights were going to be celebrated. And so back around 1900, Tic-Tac Night would have taken place almost a week before Halloween, and then Cabbage Night comes in there, and then Corn Night, and then Halloween.
Oh, okay. So you would have done every single night of just what type of mischief are we talking about here?
Well, Tic-Tac referred to a noisemaker that was specifically designed to be pressed up against a window, and it would rattle and startle anybody in the house. It was often made of a thread spool that was notched and then put on an axle, and you pulled a string, and it rattled against the windows. And so Tic-Tac Night was when you went around and made noises with people. Sometimes Tic-Tac referred to hard corn that was thrown against the windows to make this noise. And that throwing the corn against the windows was what you did on Corn Night. Cabbage Night.
And we got 15 seconds, Greg.
Most of your neighbors would have had gardens, and by Halloween, they would have picked whatever they wanted. And so there was usually some yucky leftover cabbage they would pick up and throw on their porches.
My goodness. See, that's kind of what I remember of Cabbage Night. Not that I had anything to do with it in 1997 in Taylor Mill, Kentucky. So Greg Hand from Cincinnati Curiosities, always a pleasure. Hope to have you back again soon.
You got it. Happy Halloween.
To you too. And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition. I'm Michael Monks. We'll talk to you tomorrow.